Okay, we're counting. Let's see how many we have now. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't have a quorum yet. I know. Oh, once we have a quorum. Oh, you just dropped. Okay, I'd like to open up for the next elections, and I would like... Okay, everybody.
No, I'm good. So I can make it. I'm good.
We're down to number 11, and we'd like to do the program council elections. Now, I know that's why you're all here as listeners, is because of the program council elections coming up, and that's really key. We want our listeners to be happy, just like we are.
They went to the Congress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we have to wait for the Hallinans to come back. Too.
No, but there then when people have voted out, let's see. Okay, could you just ask the other?
They went to the left,
and then we could do that because we want to make sure that you're,
this is cool.
So, Bonnie. I'm going to ask for your for the program council elections. It says elect three LSB members.
There are three listener seats on the program council from the local station board. And I assume from this that we are re-electing all three seats at this time.
Electing this.
Perhaps someone who's on program council would like to give a little description. Would that make sense?
Who's from program council?
Sure.
On here. Okay. Oh. Where's Henry? Let's get here. Let's hear.
Henry?
Let's get Henry.
He's not here in the Hallinan.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, so Sherry, go ahead.
Program council meets twice a month. It's duties among others, and the meetings are begin at 6:15 and end at 8. They have been run efficiently, and since I've attended every meeting, I know that they've been run pretty efficiently. Purpose of the program council is to consider and evaluate the programming along with the program or interim program director, but with the program director, the position is now an interim one, and also to consider new program proposals that come in. What we have been doing for the last several months is listening to and evaluating the current grid of programming broken down into categories that is on the air right now. It takes, so the meetings are very efficiently run, and there is homework or away from meeting work, which is listening to the radio station, especially to programs that you might not often listen to, and then contributing to the quality content of the programming to see to at least ensure to the best degree possible that the programming meets and addresses and fulfills the mission of Pacifica and addresses the quality of the programming as well. And maybe Henry wants to add, because here he is.
Yeah, just a point of information, Shalom has also been on the program council for a number of years and might also be
Just a point of order.
Point of order.
A point of information is a request for information. Right. If you want to offer information, you need to get on the stack.
Okay, and I have Henry, we're talking about the program council election, and so we just had a little bit of information about that. So would you like to add anything? And Sherm, you have your hand up after that.
Sure.
Sharon. Okay.
Do I have the floor?
It's my latte slipping here. Okay.
Yes. Go
ahead. Sorry, just, Henry?
Very, very quickly, I don't want to... I just want to mention that I actually think this is not the best time to elect program council people. For one thing, those of us who were elected last year did not actually begin functioning until September, but because the program council, we weren't elected until April, the program council was effectively suspended over the summer. But beyond that, I actually think there's an argument to be made for giving new people a chance to settle in a little bit before filling that position, but I'm not raising that as an objection to, or a motion or anything. It's just an observation.
I'll just add something else to it. I've been on the program council probably close to 3 years now, and what it could be a very efficient body, and it could be very effective in terms of accomplishing its goal. There is this ongoing tension generally between the management and the program council as to who actually makes what the function of the program council is. In other words, what's its purview, what's its authority? And the new IPD obviously has, she believes that she has the authority to make the final decision. And so that's something that you have to expect if you're coming to program council. That's going to be a point of, I would say, contention.
Okay. So we accept nominees for this. Okay.
Madam Chair, as a member of the most unrepresented minority at KPFA, and particularly in Pacifica governance, which is people under 30, it would be my distinct pleasure to nominate the other member of this board who shares that unrepresented category with me, Diane Enriquez.
I second. Do nominations need second?
No.
No. Right, I take your
okay. Point.
Madam
so
Chair.
We have Diane. Okay. Anthony.
I'm not making a nomination. I do think it would be inappropriate to be refilling these seats so soon when the people who were chosen last year have barely settled in and barely established relationships owing to a number of circumstances.
Okay. So could we back up a minute then, and then who are the people, first of all?
Sherry Henry.
Okay.
If I bet, it was Sherry Henry and Annie Hallett.
Oh.
There are no alternates.
Sherry Henry and Annie Hallett.
Annie
is gone.
I have a point of order, Madam Chair.
Okay, so, yes.
There's no motion on the floor about postponing this item. We agreed to have this election when we approved it as an agenda item.
Yes.
Should we get to it?
Yes,
it's not up for debate. You open nominations.
All right. I just needed for my information to know who was on. I'm sorry. I was taking... Okay, so we have Diane as one, Sasha, two. Okay. Are there any other?
Sasha, is she accepting nomination?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Diane, do you accept?
I have a name. I nominate Warren Moore.
There are
three, and one of them is prone.
Warren, do you accept?
Yes, I accept.
Okay. Yes.
Sarai, we nominate Aki Tanaka.
Oh, Dynamo.
Who?
We're nominating Aki.
Aki. Okay.
Oh, great.
Aki, do you accept?
I nominate Matthew Hallinan.
Matthew Hallinan. Matthew, do you accept? Okay. Decline. He's going to wait a couple weeks. Okay. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none. So we have Diane, Sasha, Warren, Augie, and Aki. And so, and we also have
nobody.
Nobody. That's it.
That's it. Nobody.
All right. So, I'm going to ask Susan to help us with the tally on this one, and change of the guard here. And just, you want to change?
Less. It's STV.
I'm going to withdraw.
You're going to withdraw?
Then it's by acclamation.
Then it's by, yes. We don't have to do it. We don't have to vote. Hands up. Diane, Sasha, and Warren Marr. That's it. All seeing no objections because they accept, we'll move on. Thank you for signing up on that. Thank you. Leaving GM. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Andrea, if you need me to explain the
next one. Yes, I do. And I'm going to defer to the former madam.
Sally Stanford.
Sally Stanford. Woo, yeah. Okay, for the Program Council Community Rep, and you, could you help us out there?
We elect three Program Council Community Reps to serve, and some months ago, I'm just looking for the date on here, September 07, October 07, Simon Pius, help me, community reps.
Kebba Kant or Conti, I'm not sure.
Kebba Conti.
And Tracy Rosenberg.
And Tracy were the community reps, and Tracy obviously cannot serve as a community rep now that she's on the board. So this item is to confirm the next alternate from that vote, who was a woman named Joe Podvin, for the community council, community program council rep.
Point of information?
Yes, Henry?
Is there any procedure about replacing someone who's never attended a meeting?
Mm.
Yeah. He's never attended.
Yeah. Okay, Brian? Yeah.
The local station board is the appointing authority, we could remove anyone we appointed. You would treat it like a motion to rescind, which means it would need notice and then a majority vote to remove them.
Okay. So then would we deal with that for, we would have to agendize or something for that? Okay. All right. All right. Con? It's been moved and seconded. Any objections, right? I was going to say all those in favor, but any objections? Hearing none. So moved. Okay. So do we? Yeah. So, Brian, do we
visit
with you?
Are we on to my motion? Should I motivate
it? Uh-huh.
Okay. The motion for this governance committee is an attempt to address many of the things that Henry brought up during his candidacy speech, to streamline some of the procedures at the local station board, to take a look at the committee structure we have on paper, what we have in reality, and figure out what the best structure would be for the board, and to figure out some ways to make these meetings run better. So once upon a time, the local station board had a governance committee that fell into no longer meeting because its members didn't show up. It didn't have a defined membership. It was whoever showed up. was part of the conversation. I'm hoping that by creating a small elected governance committee, the people who actually run for it and go on it will feel a greater sense of duty to produce some work. I'm proposing we assign it a first task, which is to produce a procedure for us to do a local station board self-evaluation. And I'm proposing it be an even number of people so that on a divided board you will have equal representation and only cross-factional positions will come back to this board. So it's not a platform for jamming things down anyone's throat. It's a platform for building consensus and making our meetings more efficient. So if you pass this motion, we'd elect that four-person committee, and we would charge it with putting together a self-evaluation process for the board. The process would come back to us as a proposal, of course, and then we'd approve it. I think that's important because we're charged with evaluating other people. We should have an honest conversation about how good a job we think we're doing going into those conversations.
Is there a second to the motion? It's been seconded. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? Yes, Ms. Sasha?
I'm sort of going to be thinking out loud, and maybe you and I could come up with like a friendly amendment to this. I have no problem with what is down here. I would just be more comfortable if some of these things had something a little bit to do with radio and what we're about, that we had some goals for looking at is our station covering certain issues. I know we can't micromanage and say you must play this program, but we certainly could say we need more coverage of this subject. And since that's what we're about, I'd like to see a little of that begin to enter our discussions this year. In terms of meetings I came to before I was on the board and this past year, I haven't seen that kind of discussion. And I'd like to have something that, you know, we look at this and we know, hey, we're dealing with a radio station rather than anything. So maybe you and I can brainstorm how to put something into this. And the other thing is, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is a retreat. Mm-hmm. And I was really very much in favor of this last year because I think, you know, we're like different political parties. We sit on different sides of the aisle. We vote against each other. You know, I made the speech last year in terms of if you elect all officers from one side of the table and yada da yada da yada da, how do you expect to work collaboratively? You've got to at least toss secretary or treasurer to the other side, for God's sake. I think we need a retreat to get to know one another a little bit better. I would certainly suggest that it be a mediator, not anyone we know. We need a mediator. And part of it is just, you know, let's rent a place that has a jacuzzi. Relax. Yeah. Let's sit down and have dinner together. Let's just talk and get to know one another before we declare one another arch enemies. Mm-hmm. So okay. I really would like to put, you know, let's try to figure out how we have a retreat, mm-hmm. and not 3 months before the next, you know, board election, but while mm-hmm. at the beginning when we still have to work together. So, Brian, you're really good at writing these sorts of things on the spur of the moment. You want to come up with a resolution with me? Are you against these things? Would you consider them friendly? I'm just tossing it back. I'm saying, stuck on Robert's rules mm-hmm. and bylaws and so forth. That's all we talk about, that we can't talk. You know, that we can't actually talk
in a different
and come up with something and say, okay, now we'll put Robert's rules in order. We got to do this formally the right way.
Okay. Mark, you had your hand up. You're next.
Unfortunately, the bylaws require Robert's rules. What's done outside of the meeting, however, can be done as informally as possible, and that's been part of the problem. No work's been done outside of the meetings. Everything is jammed mm-hmm. into the meetings. As regards to radio, that may be a moot point. My understanding is the FCC is getting ready to reinstate community needs assessment at a different level than it has been in the past and enforce it, especially on non-commercial radio stations. So there are mandates that are going to be established by the Federal Communications Commission that will probably supersede anything we come up with in committee at this point.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brian. And then Tracy?
I think people are raising good points, but I actually think most of them would best be addressed through separate motions, which I'd be happy to work on. I'd like to call the question on this item as we're getting short on time.
Question's been called.
state, please?
Any objection? Okay. Tracy? Thank you. She didn't have her hand up. Okay. Yeah, but Tracy had her hand up.
Excuse me, Tracy. I'm confused by the motion, so I just want to put a couple things out and see if I'm understanding clearly, because I'm not really comfortable voting until I am. There is a PNB committee election in item 15. One of those is a governance committee. It states that we would elect two members. So I assume that Brian's motion is to basically eliminate that governance committee and elect instead of two, four people to a substitute governance committee?
One is the PNB.
One's the PNB, Tracy.
Oh, that's a PNB committee.
Yeah, right. No. We're all on the same page.
So how does this relate to the LSB local committees in general? There is a governance committee, correct?
No.
No.
You guys don't have a governance committee?
There.
Really?
Bingo.
Woo.
Okay.
Okay.
See?
Thank you for answering this question.
Okay.
I'll think about it.
So you're quick.
There was a question from the crowd. I'm just asking. Apparently, local station board committees were at some point able to elect or choose people who were not actually on the board. All right. Does that play a part in your motion? It came up as a question, and I didn't know the answer.
Go ahead.
As I understand it, in the first year of the LSB, all committees were constituted in such a way that anyone who showed up could vote. And then people swiftly lost interest in those committees.
Okay.
I don't know if my alternative is going to get us a more lasting solution, but I'm offering it as an alternative because we have to try something other than what just proved to not work. I'm proposing that we elect a committee so it has a specific membership that we're assigning tasks to. And if that committee wants to add members of the community because of their expertise or dedication, I would recommend that the committee simply bring a proposed member back to the LSB for confirmation.
Mm-hmm. One follow-up question. Would you be amenable to a friendly amendment that your four-person committee encompass number of representatives from the so-called different factions on the board? I ask that because of how our voting pattern has been today, because I think the effectiveness of the committee might be somewhat limited if all of the members represented one faction and none of the members represented the other.
We're bound by the bylaws to elect all committees using single transferable vote. So you can't make factional apportionments at an administrative level, but the process is a proportional representation process, so if there is interest from two factions that represent significant pluralities of the board or more factions, they will all be represented on the committee in proportion to their numbers.
Okay. Joe, and then we'll wrap up. It's been moved in a second. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, this sounds like a good idea. The only thing so I don't have any reservations about the idea of it. The only thing is, if to the extent that, on the one hand, if we're going to move forward to something like this, we want to get it started sooner than later. I just think that one problem is that most of us haven't had a chance to think about it now for more than 10-15 minutes. So, or maybe we looked at, some of us may have had the time to look at the agenda the last couple of hours. Some of us, it would be nice to have more time to think about who would want to be on this committee. And so if people were detained taping this till the next meeting, that would be favorable. I mean, I think that the board does need more coherence and more of a roadmap about what we're doing and so forth. So I certainly support the general thrust of this idea. But I think that most of us don't really know. We have, even in terms of recognizing that there are factions, I think it would be people on sort of our side might suggest, well, okay, I'll do it without really thinking about it. How often is it going to meet and all those kinds of things. Having more time to think about those kinds of things would be good.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's been moved in second. Okay. So. I'd like to end.
We actually had ended debate, and then Tracy had her hand up prior.
Okay. Yeah, so can we move on then? Okay, all right.
We table it?
Table it?
No.
No, we're going to vote. We have to first vote because we ended. Yeah, go ahead.
Very brief. Would you consider it a friendly amendment for this to be five people so that we could have, you
point
know, if
order.
We had vote okay. breaking?
Point of order.
There is
the
no
floor.
Such thing as a friendly amendment. Okay. Once the motion is placed on
right.
the floor,
that's true.
The body has to decide whether or not to accept an amendment.
Yeah, troops. It took me a year to learn that there's no friendly amendment.
Would you consider this an unfriendly amendment?
Yeah, right. Okay. So, or whatever. So it's taken a while. So I would like for us to move on at least with the vote right now. It's been moved, seconded, and we've discussed. So, seeing no other, let's move on. Take the vote. Okay. Are there all those in favor?
Calling the question.
Yeah.
No.
Point of order.
Yes.
Question has been called. There are objections to it. At that point, we now vote whether or not to close the question.
Okay. So let me just call. That's, yeah. I need to know if there are any objections for me closing discussion right now.
There are objections. So
now those will vote whether or not to
okay.
vote.
As to whether
okay.
to end debate.
Okay, so all those in favor of ending debate?
Chair can vote, but only if it changes the outcome of the election.
No.
Maybe it's a deadline.
Or make a deadline.
Okay, so then all those opposed. Right. One. One good chair. Two, three, four. That's more. Six, seven.
Okay.
All those abstaining? One.
And
okay. So now we're back to the motion. All those in favor? Yes.
Oh,
I mean, motion fails. Right. Good.
So we can't call question.
I'm assuming that intense look meant you were giving me the floor?
Yes.
Okay. Just to address
Brian.
What people brought up. Regarding Joe's request to postpone, if your concern is postponing the election to figure out who would run for it, I'd recommend we pass the motion which creates that committee, and then when we get to the election, you move to postpone the election. So then we know we've got the committee, and we can just schedule the election as a piece of business. I didn't quite catch why Sasha wanted to make it five people rather than four, but I would suggest that... The design of the committee is to give, if it's proportionately representative of the board, to give a significant minority effective veto power over recommendations so that all that comes from the committee is relatively non-controversial consensus positions. If we figure out that the committee's not functioning under the structure that I'm proposing, I just recommend that we try to change it at a future date or have the committee make recommendations about changing its structure. The point is we need a place to kick some of the procedural stuff that takes up far too much of our time when
right.
all 25 of
right.
us are here.
Sure okay.
Just a point of clarification, we're supposed to go into special order at 2:40 p.m. It's now 2:35 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Sasha.
Well, the reason I suggested five was the same reason that we had seven
right.
on our GM search committee was... that we could not, and that we could have a vote breaker, you know, instead of ending up with a 2-2, that we not end up with a tie, and that it
okay.
could move forward. So that's, and that was your, I think, your idea last year in terms of having seven people for the search committee. So I would, you know, that's why I would suggest that it be five right
okay.
now.
Okay, great. Tito, and then Noel.
I'd like to call a question.
Question's been called. Noel.
Is
Question's been called.
Question's been called. Is there any objection to the question being called?
Yes.
Vote.
Okay. There's been objection. Okay. So, all those in favor to the objection.
Of calling the question.
Ending debate.
All those in favor of ending debate.
Debate. All those in favor of ending debate. All those not in favor of ending debate.
Motion fails.
Okay. Debate has
motion fails.
Motion failed. Thank you.
Sorry. It's
two-thirds. Yeah. It's slightly a little different.
Okay. I'm going to speak to the motion.
Go ahead.
I, like Joe, think that I would like more than 15 minutes to consider something that I think has a potential for many unintended consequences that I need to think about. Secondly, we really do rarely as an LSB get to voice our opinions about certain things. I don't want to create another committee where my voice is even lessened. Like my ability to have opinions about certain structural things and to actually have my voice heard as a listener representative, as one member of this 24 or so person body. And I already think that it is significantly diminished. And I do not want listeners and other staff reps and other people to have their voices even further diminished in this process. And I do actually have a huge concern that this committee will take some of the decision-making that I believe is our prerogative and that we should have a right to review and consider and hustle it off to a side committee that has an easier place to ram something through. I really do not appreciate as I can understand it now, the value of this committee, and I think it would diminish my voice and others' voices, and I sincerely hope that we don't do it, because already, I mean, I think I get to speak 2 minutes on something once every 4 months, and I don't appreciate it.
Phoebe.
Our committees are not functioning already. We need to do things that are required by the bylaws, such as having 2 town hall meetings a year, which we had not even one last year. So rather than form another committee to examine our navels and evaluate the LSB, let's get down to business and do the things that are required by the bylaws. And since the special order of the day has arrived, I move to table this question.
Okay. Tabling.
Just a point of order.
Yes.
A motion to table is meant to be used when you intend to take a motion up later at a meeting and you're interrupting to deal with something else.
No, I'm moving to table until the next meeting.
So that would be a motion to postpone. They're treated differently. A motion to table is not debatable.
Okay. You're moving to table till the next meeting.
Motion to postpone, right?
Okay, motion to postpone.
Is that right?
Which means it'll go to the next meeting.
I can't tell if he's, is that cool?
Okay. Okay. So let's vote on this. Okay. All those in favor of postponing?
It's by acclamation.
Okay. Moving right on.
On to Dan Siegel.
Dan Siegel.
Hello.
Pretty healthy.
All right. Yeah. Let's. Yeah. We can move down. Or if you, or you could sit in, next to Noel.
Okay.
Use the microphone so you're on the recording.
Okay. So that means I have to hold it?
My question is, you already called me.
So, hello, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to say a few words today. I want to start out by thanking all of you for your work for Pacifica. I know how much fun it is, and I know how tough you are, because it requires a real commitment to keep working with this organization to improve it. I also want to congratulate people who were newly elected to the LSB and those you've elected as your new officers and delegates to the National Board. Your work is critically important as we go forward. As you know, I guess you know, I'm the interim executive director of the foundation. And it's kind of funny to be making a report in that capacity because I don't know whether I'm going to continue to hold this job for another day or for several months. Because as all of you know, there are ongoing conversations between Nicole Sawaya and the National Board over her taking over as executive director of the foundation. And those conversations are taking place frequently for a long period of time, and hopefully they'll work out soon. But at the same time, I think it's important, and I really want to stress this, that we all be engaged in thinking about how to move this foundation forward. We can't, because of the indecision regarding national leadership or indecision regarding station leadership, just allow things to drift. Everyone knows this is a very exciting political year for mainly the wrong reasons, but issues of war, oppression, poverty, deprivation of civil rights are creating more and more of an audience for Pacifica and the kinds of programs that we have and need to develop. I had the great pleasure of being at the gala in Washington a couple of weeks ago for WPFW, and it was really quite inspiring to see 1,700 people who really represented the breadth of the Washington, D.C. community, but particularly the African-American community, there to support Pacifica and to cheer the kinds of politics that were presented by Harry Belafonte and Amy Goodman and Dick Gregory and many others, and at the same time demonstrate their particular appreciation for the program mix that exists on the WPFW station, which is characterized by some as jazz and justice. And it is a mix which has really created a base for that station in the Washington community. And it makes me think about what we all need to do at our various stations to increase our base and to increase our support and to increase our relevance to the political debate that's taking place in this country. Great opportunities. We need to improve our programming. I'm really pleased with some of the programming that's coming from the national office these days. Our national programming director, Nathan Moore, is organizing really cutting-edge coverage of the presidential race and making feeds available. I think some of the programs that have been developed at KPFA, and particularly the program on the internet involving the Iraq war veterans, is really cutting-edge in a lot of ways. But we need to be focused on improving it. And if we improve our programming, we'll build our audience, we'll improve our fundraising. Last night, Lonnie Hicks and I had a dinner with a man named Jeffrey Leonard, who has just made a commitment of $1.2 million to Pacifica to help WPFW create a new location for itself in Washington. Jeff told us that he is interested in helping Pacifica create a network of progressive and wealthy people who could be convinced to make major contributions to the foundation. And that's critical. One of the things I wonder about, and I'm asking the question to people about, is when is Pacifica going to think about establishing stations or acquiring stations in Chicago and Atlanta? If we were able to do that, we would have the ability, really for the first time, to reach the vast majority of people who live in this country. I don't think that's a possibility that's impossible, especially if we can develop some extra funding, as you're talking about. One of the critical issues that I see, and it's been interesting because I've been a lawyer for Pacifica now for almost 2 years and learning a lot because I know next to nothing about radio and communications and the technology, but I can identify at this point some critical issues that Pacifica is going to have to address over the issues of technology. Because as we try to develop our message and diversify our message over the internet and elsewhere, there are questions that people are debating and don't yet know the answer to. For example, HD radio. There are people in the organization who talk about HD radio and its importance. There are other people who say, it's a technology that's never going to happen. Those are the kinds of issues we have to make the right decisions on. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. I listened to a little bit of the conversation that took place earlier, and it emphasizes what to me is one of the biggest things that gets in our way, and that's us. We spend way too much time, way too much energy on the local and national levels arguing about trivia. And I'm just going to say that, very much in an upfront way. I can't tell you, for example, how much time the national board spent, talking about dozens of hours last year involving 25 people talking about the terms of Greg Guma's severance from Pacifica. It just was way too much time talking about an issue like that, not enough time talking about improving our programming, developing our financial base, stretching out into the new technologies. So that's really what I wanted to say in terms of an executive director's report. The last thing I want to say, which is more specific to you, is on the issue of hiring a general manager for KPFA. I mean, this has been going on, as you know, for way, way too long. We're about finally, and I mean next week, we'll finally fill the GM position of WBAI. So that leaves KPFA is by far the most long-standing vacancy. And again, I want to say in a frank way, but also in a hopefully friendly way, what we need is for you to nominate a pool of candidates. There are issues I know that we're going to discuss in closed session, but I think that as a matter of policy and clarity and adherence to our bylaws, the bylaws say that the LSB will nominate a pool of candidates. Nicole, Lydia Brazan, our HR consultant, Dominga Estrada, and I had a meeting about that, and we reached what I think is a pretty obvious conclusion, is that one is not a pool. A pool is three, and we'd like to see that. The importance is critical, right? The bylaws very carefully set out the notion of shared decision-making between the executive director and the LSB on choosing the general manager. So the way that works is that we each contribute to the process. If you nominate just one person, then whoever is sitting as ED has no role in decision making. And clearly that's contrary to what the bylaws suggest. So I hope you'll be able to make that priority so that either Nicole or I or someone else will have the opportunity to appoint a permanent general manager for the station.
On national programming, I'm really excited to hear you have someone on the line in such a large amount for that WPFW office move. I'm wondering what your prospects are for funding national programming in this year. As you know, there are a lot of potential special broadcasts coming up related to the election, and I understand national programming staff want to put together a regular programming series covering election issues. I also know, as a member of the National Finance Committee, that basically every discretionary dollar has been cut out of the national budget, partly to staunch the bleeding in New York, which is not up on its dues to the national office. What are the prospects for bringing some money in for programming in the near term?
Well, there is money coming in all the time. But what I want to say to you is that in the last 6 weeks, I've had 3 requests from Nathan Moore for money for national programming, and we found the money for each one. So I think it's, for me, it's a real big priority. I'm sure for people around the network, it's a big priority. It's a big priority for our listeners. So we're just going to do our best to fund whichever requests come along.
Okay. Sasha?
I have a couple of different questions, which I hope you will view as being okay in public session. One theme on this is in public session at the Pacifica National Board meeting a week ago, you made a report in which you said that both the GM Search Committee and this LSB had decided to repost the general manager position, and I'm assuming that you wouldn't say that without a good source that you felt was reliable. Is that fair?
That's fair.
That's fair. Okay. Then what makes me really uncomfortable, because I happened to listen, I almost tripped over my poor aging dog and harmed him getting to my computer to send out an email when I heard this, because that is certainly not anything that's ever been discussed by the committee or by this board, where you got that information, because then it would have to be somebody from this board for sure, and possibly from the committee, and this really is alarming. So, who told you?
I'm not going to tell you who told me, because I don't want to embarrass that person, but it appears that what I understood to be a fact was a prediction, and it was not, but the person told me it was going to be reposted, but as I looked into it, I think the response perhaps to you and others who questioned me about it at the National Board meeting last week, I did some further checking and found out that it was not true, at least not true yet, but that the person who sent it to me said it as a prediction. And I think it's a good thing.
That makes me very uncomfortable that somebody would tell you something like that as though it were a fact. And, I mean, it, to me, again, it borders on what are we doing here if people are making things up as whole cloth and telling it to our, interim executive director as though it were a fact. I mean, that makes me very, very uncomfortable. And, I mean, I have to really question whoever this nameless person is, I really have to question their reliability in terms of being on the board if they're making this up out of whole cloth. Mm-hmm. So I just throw that out there.
And, it may well be that I need to take responsibility for that in terms of misinterpreting the conversation I had. But it was clearly a conversation involving several people, and I took it as a fact, and I think it should have been taken as a prediction, and perhaps we can talk more about that in closed session. Mm-hmm. But I'm really quite convinced it was bad faith and misrepresentation.
Okay. Then the next question has to do with, I don't want to get into the argument about the pool right now, but it would seem to me that, an IED or an ED's hands are not tied if they were to interview one person, and that they could decide they wanted to hire that person up or down. And their hands are not tied, and that if there is one person, it would make sense to me to at least interview them and see whether one thought they were suited for the position or not. Yeah. Do you want to respond to that? Because you said their hands are tied if you only send them one person. It seems to me your hands aren't tied. You could say, don't like this person at all.
But, I may like the person.
And you may like them.
in New York, the search committee forwarded, out of 8 semi-finalists, 3 finalists to the IED, mm-hmm. and I interviewed the 3 of them. I liked all of them. The one who turned out to be the most outstanding of the 3 was also the first choice of 7 out of 9 on the search committee, and the second choice of the remaining two, and my first choice as well. So I thought the process worked out terrifically. I got to talk with a number of people who had been vetted by the local station board, and all of whom were endorsed in one way or the other, and I got to satisfy myself that the choice they made was the best of the best of the candidates they had. And again, what I'm saying does represent a strong consensus of Nicole and Lydia Brazan, the chair of the National Board Personnel Committee, and Dominguez Strat, and I think it really is consistent with the plain language of the bylaws. And if we start, creating new interpretations of the bylaws each time we have a situation of applying them, we're going to just have to sort it.
One more fast question, I swear. Just a follow-up, if I may.
Just,
it is really quick.
We have another hand up, and so I'd like to honor some of the other people in the room.
Well, I just wanted to ask
and
about...
And if we go into closed session, I think that we could then, have further discussion. But in all fairness to other people who have been waiting to ask the question in public session here right now. So let's go to Soraya then, and we'll come back to it. Yeah. Soraya.
He's doing his report.
Mike. Use your mic. Thank you. Okay.
I was wondering if this person who is giving this money, how much we're going to be beholding to this person's politics. And that's what scares me, because I like Pacifica because we need more listeners to do it, more grassroots. That's, I agree with you. We need more community programming. That's why I wanted to run for this board. Middle East is really a big issue. We need more programming. We just don't need one program. We have so many hours of other things. I was wondering how you see that, because I don't want to be having a club and, going what that person wants.
No, thank you. I think that's a great question and something that we're all going to have to think about and talk about. Unlike certain presidential candidates, I don't really think we are one nation. I think we're a very divided country, and the rich and poor and working class rarely have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. But so I'm skeptical about millionaires myself. Mr. Leonard made it clear to Lonnie and me that he cares absolutely nothing about the content of what goes out on Pacifica's airwaves and cares 100% about its stability and success. And he also said something which I then interpreted as an important motivation for his generosity, is that his 14-year-old son has become a staunch volunteer at WPFW and is really interested in doing the work. And maybe this has more to do with family than money. But, that's it. I think you're right. We are not a corporate institution, and you need to be skeptical about millionaires bearing checks.
Tico.
As far as a pool of candidates, I had heard that you said that you felt that 3 was a good number. And so I just wanted to make sure if I heard that correctly because I really appreciated you're describing what a good hire looks like, but I just wanted to be as specific as possible.
Well, I said 3. The unity of our group who had this conversation was that it was more than 1. So, obviously if you get into a situation where a station insists that there's only 2 who are really in the top tier, so we're sending 2, we'll deal with it.
Kind of a follow-up question. As we went through the interviews, I was, is there any opinion as to that's fair to express as far as including the interim general manager? Because I personally feel that
Point of order. We can't talk about job candidates in public session.
We can't, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Point,
so we have,
point of order, rising to the orders of the day.
We need to wrap up. There was just one hand up during that time. Can we just take that?
It's 3 o'clock. Unless there's a motion to extend time, we have to move into executive session.
Okay. To all those in favor of closing this.
There's a motion to extend by 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Take the last question.
There's a motion to extend for 2 minutes.
Take the last question.
To take the last question. All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none.
We extend for 2 minutes.
Okay.
We extend for 2 minutes, and Chandra, you're on.
Okay. I know there's a whole issue about the pool, and is there anything that precludes the executive director when candidates are forwarded by the local station board? To my knowledge, there is nothing that precludes reviewing all of the candidate applications and all of the resumes that have been put forward. Therefore, I don't see any reason why, if a pool consists of 1 or 25, there's a problem, because the executive director is the final authority.
Okay, just your comment on that, and then we'll close out.
Well, you know, Sasha raised the same questions. I don't want to be disrespectful, Chandra, but I mean, I understand what you're saying. And as I said, that, you know, four of us got together, and without regard to anybody's liking or disliking any candidate or any station, had a conversation oriented to what are some uniform policies the network should have. And the agreement of, again, of the four of us was that a pool was more than one. And that I described, again, also before you came in, the way the process worked with WBAI, where there were lots of candidates, 8 semifinalists, 3 finalists who were pooled, and the interviewing of them. So, anyway, I don't want to.
All right, just one quick follow-up. By what authority
orders
would
the
four
day,
of
Chair.
You have authority to, aside from you, Dan, being the legal counsel, by what authority would the four, with the other three, have authority
Chandra.
To review the to interpret the bylaws
Chandra.
Without the PNB?
Sorry.
That's my only other question.
Dan, I'm going to ask you.
Point of order, our 2 minutes have elapsed.
I'm going to.
It's a really critical question when you have individuals interpreting the bylaws. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's all.
The issue Nicole Sawai, the ED, myself as general counsel, Lydia Brazan, who's the chair of the National Board's Personnel Committee, and Dominga Estrada, who's our HR consultant. It seemed like a good group to bring together. And
but
we agreed. And it's not law. If the National Board wants to consider this issue and overrule us, I think that's the National Board's prerogative.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'd like to close out this session. And Dan, thank you for coming. But I mean to respond in public. I will finish my sentence. Respond in public session for all of us here. And this is good so that the public can at least hear what Pacifica's concerns are. I'd like to close out with our public session and ask and thank you all for coming. This is what it's all about, being transparent. And make sure that's recorded, young man. And I'm telling you that, okay? Because we are working hard to make this as transparent. And thank you all for coming.